Going out tonight. I avoided Larry all last Tuesday and most of Wednesday, fearing that he was going to ask me to speak tonight, because I'd heard rumor they were going out of town. And, well, he called me. So here I am. I could have just used the excuse that I have homework. I got a witness. I have lots of homework. But that would only be an excuse. And I have shared on many occasions with the elders my thoughts on 2 Timothy 4:2, which says, "Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction." So I'm going to borrow a sermon that I found online at gwatkins.net. The author is Tom Moore, and he seems to keep to biblical ways, and this sermon on worry and how to overcome it is going to come from the Word. I called myself careful as I trimmed and hacked my way to this sermon. I used his outline and then trimmed it to mine. And as Brother Ben Porter cautioned me on several occasions, I'll try and stay out of the book of Bob tonight. Well, we're living in a time that many claim is an age of anxiety. It seems that worry is the watchword of our world today. No job, we worry. We have a job, we worry. No money, we worry. We have money, we worry. If we're sick, we worry. And when we're not sick, we worry. No wonder, there was one worrier who said to another, "I have so many troubles that if anything happened to me today, it would take me 2 weeks before I could get around to worrying about it." Well, now we know that life cannot be lived free from a sense of anxiety and concern. For example, being concerned about having an automobile wreck is what keeps us driving safely. Concern over becoming ill causes us to practice good health practices. And however, the problem is this: it's easy to let our concerns become our cares and our forethoughts to become our fear thoughts. Though there's lots of different kinds of fears out there in the world. People worry about things that have already happened. And that's futile. Worrying about that which has already happened is like trying to saw sawdust. Worrying about the past is like trying to put toothpaste back in the tube. Past deeds cannot be undone, and past words cannot be unsaid. If the past involves sin, we have to obey the conditions of pardon, and God will abundantly forgive. In Isaiah 55, 6 and 7, the scripture says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." When God forgives you, you have to forgive yourself. Lloyd George, a former prime minister of England, once said, "I've made it a practice of my life always to close the gate behind me." And that is what we need to do with things that have already happened. People worry over things that will inevitably happen. Some people worry their children will get married. Marriage is honorable. According to Hebrews 13:4, men and women were created for marriage. Genesis 2:24. Some people worry about dying. Well, we're all going to die. Even in Scripture, Hebrews 9:27 tells us we're all going to die. And some people worry about growing old. Well, I have news for you. Lord willing, we're all going to grow old. Some people worry about things that will never happen. Mark Twain once said, "I have worried over a great many things in life, the most of which never happened." Surveys, and Mike's fond of surveys, have shown that 80% of the things we worry about never happen. The Lord gave us a classic text on worry during the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said in Matthew 6:25-34. Jesus said, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes. Look at the birds of the air. They do not reap or sow or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by adding worry, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Worry is unnecessary, because our Heavenly Father knows our needs. Jesus said so in verse 32. God is sensitive to our needs. So why do we worry? Worry is also cruel. Matthew 6:26, and I'll remind you, it says, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? It's cruel to think that God would care more for birds than he would for us. Any father would feed his children before he would feed the birds. Worry is prohibited. Do not worry. Jesus said this three times. He said it in verses 25, 31, and 34. The same Lord that made belief and baptism essential to salvation, as told to us in Mark 16, 16, is the same Lord who said, don't worry. I'll remind you, Matthew 6:27 says, can any one of you by worrying add a single hour to your life? Worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but doesn't get you anywhere. Worry is heathenish, for the pagans run after all these things, we were told by Jesus in verse 32. Jesus is saying there that worry is not a characteristic of a child of God. Worry actually shows lack of faith. You of little faith, from verse 30. Human reasoning produces doubt. Doubt produces fear. And fear produces anxiety. Matthew 14:1 says, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. So here's how to overcome worry. You have to make up your mind that you're going to conquer it. We must not allow our thoughts to push us around. Abraham Lincoln said, I have been as happy as I have made my mind to be. From the right, we also have to form the right relationship with God. Philippians 4:7 tells us, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The closer we are to God, the fewer worries we have. We need to develop the right attitude of mind. First, look at the silver lining. Second, you should count your blessings. And don't concentrate on the bad things and neglect the good things. Do what you can and turn the rest over to God. Yeah, do what you can and then leave the rest to God. We must trust God. Isaiah 26:3 says, You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. We should live one day at a time. Yesterday's buried, tomorrow is unborn. The best way to prepare for tomorrow is to fulfill the duties of today. Matthew 6:34, Jesus said, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. We should engage in purposeful work. Even in Eden, God saw the need for employment to ensure man's happiness. He was a wise man who said that he had no time for worry. For the daytime, he was too busy. And at night, he was too sleepy. Most of you know that I'm doing graduate coursework, and there's large amounts of assignments, large amounts of work. Life is very busy with loads of work, kids, jobs, church classes to prepare for, deliver, and sermons to make up or find. Well, my classmates and I have learned how to eat an elephant. And if you don't know, eat an elephant one bite at a time. In Acts chapter 2, we find on the day of Pentecost, after Christ ascended to heaven, Peter preached the first gospel message, proclaiming, "Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this: God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah." When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, and for all whom the Lord our God will call." If you need to respond tonight, please come forward. We'll help you as together we stand and sing the song of invitation.